CNN, Warner Bros, Netflix, Paramount, CBS, even Batman and Superman. What if I told you all of them could all soon live under one roof? Depending on how the battle for Warner Bros plays out in the coming weeks, we might be heading towards the biggest one-stop shop in entertainment history. But as the old saying goes, be careful what you wish for. It's News Talk Daily. I'm Sean Defoe. Now, Netflix is already the world's biggest streamer with more than 300 million subscribers. Recently, it announced a massive deal to swallow the legendary studio Warner Bros. Along with HBO Max. Harry Potter, Game of Thrones, Barbie, DC, Lord of the Rings, all under one roof and all funneled onto one super platform. It's like the Avengers Assemble of streaming, although they won't have the Avengers rights. Then another storied brand, Paramount, bruised, shrinking and fighting for relevance, launched a hostile takeover of its own. This could be the battle to decide the winner of the big three of the streaming world, Netflix, Amazon and Disney. And the US President Donald Trump has said he'll be involved in determining the winner. Hollywood unions say wages will fall as a result. Cinemas say it'll be an unprecedented threat to the big screen. And analysts say the result could mean fewer films, fewer shows and higher prices. So are we heading for a world where three giant companies decide what we watch, what gets made and what survives? And should we, as viewers, really care? Well, to help me make sense of it all, I'm joined by the co-host of For Tech's Sake, the podcast. Elaine Burke is with us. Elaine, you're welcome to News Talk Daily.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. Now, look, I suppose, bring us into how Netflix got here, because we know Netflix, the streamer. Why do they want to buy Warner Bros. In the first place?
Well, what they want to buy of Warner Brothers is the film and TV production arms of it. So they're not buying Warner Brothers in its totality. There's a whole cable channels element of the business that they're not interested in. And for that film and TV side of things, they buy all those properties in that back catalogue that you've just mentioned and all future properties that they are, that are already in production and greenlit at the studios. And this massive capability for TV and film production, which Netflix has obviously been involved in for the last number of years, but does lack the decades of experience in that area that these more old hands would have, these older veteran studios would have in this area. And Warner Brothers has been hugely successful in that respect in the past year. And the biggest films of this year certainly came from Warner Brothers Studios, and they were actually quite surprising hits as well. I mean, Superman obviously is not a surprising one because Warner owns obviously the DC franchise as well. But then you had Weapons and Sinners, which were films that were very unique, original, and not based off of existing intellectual property like most big hitters are this year. And again, Minecraft was also one of Warner Brothers' hits in the cinema this year. So Netflix gets to own all of that, but also might change the shape of how those releases work. Because as I said, they were big hits for cinemas this year. They got people going out to the cinema to see them as well. But Netflix has been known to not favour lengthy cinema releases before it brings things onto its platform. In fact, the reason why you see cinema releases of Netflix films is because they want them to get awards, and to qualify for an Oscar or a Golden Globe, you have to be out at least a week in cinemas only. So Netflix does a week or two in the cinemas and then it's straight onto the next Netflix platform, which kind of dilutes the need to see it in the cinema. And Netflix doesn't care if you see their films in the cinema. They just care if you have a Netflix subscription, and if they can get awards as well, that can probably entice more people to sign up for subscriptions.
So from their point of view, twofold a benefit. One, you get all that historical IP and the shows that we all love, and you own that and can do what you like with it. But also you suddenly have this big powerhouse of content generation beyond anything they've been capable of so far that will keep people coming and coming to your streaming platform as opposed to cinemas or anywhere else.
Absolutely. And then the TV side of things that they get through HBO. HBO known as like the premium brand when it comes to TV production. So they get their entire back catalogue and again, everything that's in production, which includes a brand new Harry Potter TV series, which is tipped to be hugely monumentally successful, as everything that the Harry Potter brand has touched so far has been. That's already being filmed, has been cast and everything, and Netflix stands to own that. And I should caveat this and say, like, what we are all talking about is still actually speculative because we don't know if Netflix is going to be the winner in this bid, even though they have announced themselves as the winner. They even, and I would say quite prematurely, even if they were the winner of this bid, sent an email to all of their customers welcoming Warner Brothers to their brand. And that kind of signals to customers that this is a more immediate thing than it is, because even if Netflix wins in this bid, which is a big question mark, it's going to take a really long time to pan out. So first of all, you have to have the split off of the cable channels part of the business, which wouldn't be completed until sometime next year, I'd imagine, and then they take over that film and TV studio
element.
This
is just to bring people to the background of that. This is what Warner Brothers was doing anyway to make itself more profitable, dividing the company into two businesses, and the one that they're selling, as you said, is the film and TV side.
Well, technically, the whole thing is up for sale, but they had those plans in place to split the business just to try and make it more palatable for a sale, to make the option that you could buy one of each. Skydance and Paramount have actually put a bid in for the entire business. So they want to take over everything, including the cable channels. And when it comes to like the question of consolidation of media in the US, Netflix has its own detractors for different reasons in terms of the things that you raised of, if this might limit options in terms of TV and film production. So if I am working in TV and film production and I'm pitching, I have one less opportunity to pitch to because two of the big options have merged together. Warner Brothers and Netflix are now one entity. So that decreases your leverage at the negotiating table. And it could mean that less things are made because there's, you know, what was once two pots is now one. So that's where you have the limitations there. And that's why you have unions and groups like that coming out against this idea. But then the other side of it is if Paramount and Skydance take it over, well, then you have the company that already owns a significant part of US news media is going to own even more of that. And that's obviously a big danger as well. And then the Paramount Skydance offer includes investment from Jared Kushner's Affinity Partners, the president's son-in-law's venture firm, and also a huge amount of backing from Gulf State investors. So you've got Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE all involved in financing that massive hostile pitch to take over the entire business for over $100 billion. And that's such a high number to try and make it so that you can't say no to it as the decision makers in Warner Brothers, that it would be questionable to say no to it, and then they can appeal the decision. So this is all going to have a lot of legal wrangling. So whatever decision is made, whatever deal is decided to go ahead, it's definitely going to be contested for a number of reasons. You've got antitrust investigations from the regulators, and that will be in the US and the EU. And then you've got the people who will appeal that the decision made was the wrong one because their offer was actually better. And then you'll have the, as I mentioned, the unions and things like that. So even for this deal to become reality is going to take a long, long time. And then you have to have a merger take place, which is another thing that between massive companies takes a long, long time. So what we're talking about now might not actually have any real material effects on the industry and on people for many, many years.
Yeah, so you don't expect to see suddenly some of these IPs on Netflix this Christmas. But bring us inside this Paramount bid, right? And you said some of the backers there and the people who are coming in for it. Were they always in the background trying to get a deal done? Because as you said, Netflix come out, it's kind of a fait accompli. It seems like it's totally done. And then it seemed like Paramount swooped in. And I think for a lot of people, we'll kind of think, do these guys actually have the juice to do it? Because their subscriber base hasn't been fantastic in terms of a streamer that we might engage with as consumers. They're way down the pecking order.
So very recently, you just had the completion of that Paramount Skydance merger. So that's made Paramount a bigger entity through a different merger, which was also contested on the grounds of further consolidation of media in the US. And essentially, this play for Warner Brothers always was seen to have basically three key players in it. It was Netflix, Paramount Skydance, and Comcast. And Comcast does seem to have kind of thrown its hands up and said, let's leave these two at it. It's not entered the fray with its own offer on the table versus the 80-something billion from Netflix and the over 100 billion from Paramount Skydance. So maybe Comcast has bowed out at this point. And then what you have with Paramount Skydance is you have very strong political affiliation. So it's led by David Ellison, which is the son of Larry Ellison. Larry Ellison is one of the richest tech billionaires going. He was briefly the richest person in the world, overtaking Elon Musk when there was just some changes in share prices that made him that. And he's been a longtime tech veteran and also a longtime supporter of Trump. His son is the CEO of Paramount Skydance, and he's kind of seen as, you know, very closely affiliated with his father and with the Trump administration. So for many people, seeing how Trump gets involved in these things, and even though, you know, legally, morally, ethically, and all those reasons, he shouldn't be getting involved in authorizing deals in the business space, he doesn't really follow any rule book. So it is likely that he will be heavily involved in this. They are seen as the most favorable bidder because of that relationship in many, many ways. But then you had Ted Sarandos, the co-CEO of Netflix, had a secret meeting with Trump, and Trump came out speaking very favorably about Sarandos. And then Netflix announces that they've won the deal, sent that email to all their customers. And then you get Paramount Skydance come back. And so Trump will definitely play a role in this. And even though that isn't the way business should be done, that is going to be a factor in this. And then when you were talking about, like, how are they financing this? How are they backing this? As I mentioned, they have massive investment from different entities to make up that over $100 billion bid that they've put on the table. And you see that interest from the likes of Saudi Arabia and Qatar and the United Arab Emirates. And there's been this growing interest across those Gulf states to invest in entertainment industries for what's called soft power. And it's actually quite an interesting dynamic when you see that the US is almost destroying and dismantling a lot of its long-held soft power investments, while these states are actually building theirs up. And famously this year as well, we had like the biggest leveraged buyout of all time in business history was the buyout of EA, largely by the Saudi investment fund. So those states are very much interested in getting their investments to be involved in these kind of entertainment industries, because it can soften the view of them around the world. Mm-hmm. I've always said myself that for America, Hollywood has been the greatest marketing tool ever. And this could be a way that other states can now kind of buy into a tool such as that to promote themselves. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to see films and television that highlight how good it is to live and be wealthy in one of the Gulf states. But what they have been doing for many, many years, and something that Ireland does quite successfully as well, is that they've been courting production to take place in their states. That, you know, they have massive desert spaces where I believe there was a final shot in the F1 film. It was filmed. I haven't seen that film, so I can't say if it looked impressive or anything like that. But that's a way that, you know, you can attract, you know, really big players in an entertainment industry to your country. And while they're there filming, you can show them how great your country is, wine and dine them, and they go with a very favorable view of your nation. So that's how you can kind of get soft power, even without even influencing the content. You're just kind of involved. And while Paramount Skydance have said that these investors won't have board seats, they won't actually be having a say in the day-to-day of the running of Warner Brothers, Paramount Skydance as this one big monolithic entity, they will be expecting some level of influence for the amount of money that they're putting forward for this. And that's the whole reason to be involved in a bid like this. So you would be expecting some kind of influence, and they will be mega shareholders at the end of the day, so they will have a voice.
So what happens here? So there's obviously the bid that Netflix thinks has been accepted. I understand there's a breakage fee with that if they decide to go elsewhere. So now Warner Bros. Have to decide whether to put this to shareholders. Could there be further bids? I mean, could we see a bidding war now between the two?
The only others that would be expected to make a bid now would be Comcast, which was the third player really in this deal making from way back.
Might they go, oh, I see you're 110, actually we'll go up to 100? Or, do you know what I mean? People, maybe I have bidding on houses here on the brain for how this kind of thing works, but maybe slightly different.
So what's interesting is there are two different bids as well. So as I said, Paramount Skydance wants to buy the entire business, and Netflix was already overpaying for some of that business. So the entire business at the time of Netflix's announcement was valued at $60 billion, and Netflix was willing to pay over $80 billion if you include the debt that it was taking on board with it, just for the film and TV element. And then you get this other bid coming in at over $100 billion. So you're really talking about an over valuation of what these assets actually worked. And I can't see Netflix maybe going higher than the over 100 billion, because that is it's an insane amount, to be frank.
Yeah.
And they've already had to borrow quite significantly, I think, from 5 financial institutions to back their own bid. You know, they don't have that money on hand themselves. So they are taking a huge risk with this. And their share price has actually dropped in response to the risk that they're taking on with this offer.
That's interesting. So maybe we'll, for the last couple of minutes, go to the consumer side of this. If either of these do go ahead, what do you think it means for the likes of us who are paying? Like, on one hand, I think of a Netflix that has all of these fantastic shows that I love, and sticking on The Sopranos on Netflix, that's great. But if they have control of so much of the market, I can also imagine I'm going to start paying more every month. And because they have these ones, they can kind of charge what they like. Ultimately, if either, and maybe start with Netflix, and we can look at Paramount as well in a sec, is it bad for the consumer, good for the consumer?
I would imagine it would ultimately mean higher prices, because if you're Netflix, and as I said, have taken on a substantial amount of debt for this takeover, and takeovers and mergers are hard, and they've taken on this risk for the company and seen their share price drop because of it. So they do have to show that there's going to be some return from taking on this risky investment. So they might do something that actually starts to look a bit like the TV of old. So HBO famously was a cable channel in the States that people had to pay a premium in order to access. And they paid that premium because of the quality of the programming. And you can start to see how the streamer Netflix, which has disrupted the TV industry, starts to look more like that TV industry of old, and kind of carving out a situation where you pay for access to a more premium level of content. And we do see how some smaller competitors in the market do well there, where, you know, people who are really interested in film and prestige television might pay a bit of a premium to access it, because they're not necessarily binge watchers just trying to have something on for background noise and a million seasons of Real Housewives running back to back and that kind of thing. So I could absolutely see that either you have a global price raise for all customers, and to be honest, they're going to keep going up as the cost of living rises anyway. Mm-hmm. But I could definitely imagine you have more premium tier options included in the mix there, and things just starting to look a bit like the way TV was before, just delivered through different pipes.
Who knows? They had a good model all along, and things go round and round as they do. Elaine Burke, listen, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast and talking through all of that. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Mel.
And be sure to check out For Tech's Sake, wherever it is you stream your content. And while I'm plugging the latest edition of my own podcast, Let Me Explain, that's out now. This week in the run into Christmas, talking to Lars Edman. He's the man behind Ireland's only toy soldier factory, would you believe it, down in County Cork, as he's getting ready for Christmas. And if you have got your teeth stuck in this episode to that sort of mad and political world of American media ownership, you can listen back to Ciara Doherty's chat with the US media analyst Claire Atkinson. That episode of News Talk Daily is called Free Speech or Censorship, the Fight for Control of American Television. You'll find that on the Go Loud Player and at newstalk.com. Right, that's it from News Talk Daily for this week, from all of us here at the podcast. Have a great weekend.